Charlotte Soccer Show. Danny, football is back. Cheers to you. We are at Rhino Market in South Park for a big episode of Charlotte Soccer Show, Danny. And the reason why we're here today is because signings are happening around deadline day. I think I've heard the phrase recently, and I totally agree with this, is that deadlines get deals done. And as of this recording, we are mere days away from the closing of the transfer window here in MLS, and Charlotte FC is after two massively talented players. Danny, tell me about these two players. It's a big, big day in what I would call silly season for MLS.
Are we after two players? I don't know. That remains to be seen. I know there's reports of one guy who's pretty much already a done deal. And then later, today, reports emerged that said there may be a second. I don't know. I'm not so sure how much I believe in that second player. We'll talk about that as we go. But, Johnny, first I got to ask you, thanks for inviting me out to Rhino tonight at South Park. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Triple C. It's the Helles Lager, and it is a rare batch, and it's very good. It's crispy, and it's tasty, and it's... reminding me of all the fun episodes that we did out there on the corner, right on the corner of that street. Is it Summit Street? I can't remember the intersection.
I think it might as well be, yeah.
But right on that outside patio at Triple C around the corner there, across the street from Suffolk Punch. Great memories there doing Charlotte Soccer Show.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this beer reminds me of.
Helles, hell yeah. You know, what can I say? I'm drinking a Juicifer, Devil's Logic Juicifer IPA, sort of in tribute. I believe Devil's Logic only has a limited time left. They are not going to be around so much anymore out there in Elizabeth, but they made great beers. It's tough to keep a brewery going for years and years and years, so we decided to pay a little tribute to them. They had Devil's Logic on tap here at Rhino. I said, hey, give me a Juicifer. Give me two. So I've got a beer and a half here waiting for me, so I don't need to get up mid-segment to go get another one. And excited to be drinking with you, excited to be talking transfers, excited to be in a football is back mindset, as you've kind of established the theme for this episode.
And the reason why is because not only are we hearing these rumors and Stengs is somebody that almost feels like it's done.
Gotta be done. Better be
the
done.
The medical's done.
Yeah.
It's, at this point, it's almost 99.9% guaranteed that he signs for Charlotte FC. It's just the official announcement hasn't come. That's
it
the way
could be
I
hours
feel
away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As of this recording. So he could be signed by this moment. So I am acting on this episode like that's happening. Also, the Carolina Ascent kicks off.
Yep.
Its inaugural season in the USL Super League. The league's inaugural season this Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Elizabeth. That's happening this week.
Yeah.
The Charlotte Independence is all of a sudden dreaming of Jaeger Cup glory.
Jaeger Cup glory, baby. I have myself experienced a lot of Jaeger Cup glory back in high school, but this is a slightly different type of glory for sure. Bigger cup.
My big question is why don't we just go with an ice luge?
Exactly. The trophy for the Jaeger Cup better be a big giant block of ice with a slot carved in the top of it and just people taking shots. It better be. I don't know if it is or isn't, but still in the group stage of the Jaeger Cup, which is crazy. They play 10 matches in the group stage. Charlotte Independence have 3 left. I looked. Nice win over Jamie Smith's Greenville Triumph the other day at American Legion Memorial Stadium. Saw all the Mecklenburg Reserves and Jack's Militia out there rocking and rolling. Shout out to Reverend Burrow waving the flags. He's become a huge Independence fan this year. Love to see it.
I have to stick my tail between my legs and say that I was invited to the chicken eating contest and I didn't want to do it. There was a Chick-fil-A chicken eating contest.
Wow.
And maybe next time. Would you have done it?
In a previous life, I could have done some damage in a Chick-fil-A chicken eating contest for sure, but I've been trying to eat a lot less processed food, eat a lot less food in general, trying to make a little bit commitment to a more healthier lifestyle, even though I am double-fisting beers right now, so I don't know about the cognitive dissonance there, but
Speaking of beers,
I could have done some damage in a previous life for sure. I have won chicken wing eating contests before. Okay. And things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I figured you'd be better at that than me. I got to make sure that they know that you're the guy to ask for that kind of thing.
Well, if I set my mind to it, it'd be tough to beat me for sure. Determination and persistence is our strengths.
The reason why we're here tonight is because we have so many topics to discuss. We're going to hear from the TIFOs as well.
Yeah.
We got questions on our Instagram page as well as our X page. Tonight we're going to hear from the TIFOs who always bring a lot to the table on the show.
And I don't know if we'll do an official TIFO set question segment, because a lot of the questions are kind of stuff we're going to answer in the flow of the show of what we plan to talk about already. But a few questions did stick out that I will be popping in at the end, so don't let me forget, please, because we have a habit on this show of teasing that we're going to talk about something later and then we actually never get there. That's kind of a feature, not a bug, but don't let me forget this time, please.
One of the questions is mentioning TT Ortiz, so I feel like I have to ask that one.
Christian, yeah, I love that. Yeah,
maybe I'll ask that one later in the show. So, talk to me about this new player,
the man of the hour.
Who is he? Where is he coming from? And if you are a Charlotte FC fan, what does this new signing mean to the club that you've been following now for 2.5 years?
I mean, to be honest, Johnny, it means everything. It really does mean everything. You talk about one of the great footballing nations in the world. You're talking about the Netherlands, Holland, the Dutch. And this, to my knowledge, would be the very first Dutch player ever brought in by Charlotte FC for a total football approach. And, of course, I'm talking about Calvin Stengs, 25-year-old midfielder / forward. Really, he's a creative attacking midfielder. He's an attacker. And he is going to be coming in as a DP. As with 4 days left in the window, I woke up on August 10th. Window closes on the 14th. I woke up on August 10th and I thought to myself, we have Tim Ream, but is Charlotte even going to sign a DP? And I posted something cheeky on the Twitter page. I posted a picture of Guzman Carujo, who wore number 4 for this club in days of yore. And so we are Guzman Carujo days away from the close of the transfer window. Is Charlotte even going to sign a DP? What do y'all think? And most people responded no. People who responded were like, yeah, no, I don't see it happening. I think Ream is all we're going to get. It wasn't hours later that we got a text, you and I, Johnny, from inside AHPP, from one of our sources that said, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. And the DP that many of us had kind of given up hopes of bringing in this window, all of a sudden came and looked like... When I got that text even before Fab tweeted, even before anybody else covering this thing tweeted, and that's how I kind of knew that we were looking good. And we're talking about Calvin Stengs. Like I said, this is a player who comes from Feyenoord Rotterdam, a team that won, if I'm not mistaken, won the Eredivisie last year. They're Dutch champions. If you Google Calvin Stengs, the images, one of the first things you're going to find is a picture of his smiling mug, holding the trophy and loving life. Like, we're here for trophies, and this is a guy who owns a trophy, so that's very cool to see. Just a playmaker, just that central number 10 that we've been looking for. You know, we've been pretty good on the wings with Leo Labada as a DP, with Kerwin Vargas as a young under 22 player, and then contract extension. Yuri Tavares has come in and performed pretty nicely when Kerwin's been a little bit out of form. The wings have been okay for Charlotte FC for the most part, but we've never had that central, and a lot of times we've been trying to force Karol Swiderski into that role, and he doesn't want to because he wants to play striker, and we've never had anyone who like thrives and just like relishes that ability to be the number 10, to be the Ricky Puig, to be the Carlos Gil, you know, to be the Hani Mukhtar, to be the Emmanuel Reynoso before he went crazy and ejected from MLS. Like, that's the type of player we're talking about with Calvin Stengs, is a guy who legitimately has the potential to be a top 10 or 15 player in the entire league.
He plays for the Dutch national team. He's scored hat-tricks at the senior level in Euro qualifying competition. He has international experience. He is somebody that probably will be on the Netherlands team, the United States. And think about this, right? Maybe this move is his way of saying the U.S. is going to be my home base for World Cup 2026.
That's a very good consideration, him knowing that he can like make his name here in the States and help the Dutch sort of build an even bigger profile. Let me put it this way. So he plays for Holland, right? So to paraphrase Zoran Crnetta, if he's played against Poland, he can play against Real Salt Lake, right?
And to be clear, this is a nice geography lesson that the Dutch, who live in both Holland and the Netherlands, mm-hmm. are all the same place, all one country.
Yeah, and I think the Netherlands is more the political nomenclature these days. Holland is... It used to be called Holland back in the tulip craze days.
Well, there's two provinces.
Right, now it's a province inside the Netherlands.
Inside the Netherlands, exactly.
So, well, you know, colloquially.
And that's where Rotterdam is, by the way.
Yes.
In one of the Holland provinces in the Netherlands.
And Rotterdam is the city that is home to Feyenoord, the club where Stengs is coming from. And this guy's just sick. Like, I know, like... We might have a little bit of... I think we're both pretty excited about this. I think you're a little bit more of the show me, prove it to me point of view, whereas I'm like the irrational hype.
Well, if you're going to say that, let me just jump in
and say... Yeah, I don't
want
to put words in your mouth. Yeah.
I think that this player has potential to really make an impact on the squad, but as far as his skill set and his ability to play within MLS, I want to just see it this time.
I think that's fair. We've gotten hyped up over guys that haven't panned out as much in the past as their hype would have led you to believe. I'm watching highlight reels of Calvin Stengs over the last few days, and I'm just, like, blown away. And this is a guy that I kind of knew about a little bit through my fantasy play, through playing the game So Rare. It's the Dutch League is one of the biggest leagues in that game, so we follow the Dutch League fairly decently, especially the top teams. And when I heard that Calvin Stengs was the guy, I was like, holy shit, we got Stengs? This is the real deal. And it felt really good to know that a couple of things on this. A, it's the big player. It's the big money signing. It's the statement of intent that we're doing with that. This guy, for an $8 to $9 million transfer fee, that's going to be more than we paid for Leo Labada. This guy's probably going to become the highest paid player salary-wise on the team. I don't know what the terms will be. Maybe they'll be announced. Unlikely they'll be announced. I think Labada makes like 2.3. So we can expect Stengs to make between 3 and 4 million, I think, a year. But then also the fact that this was a signing, and, you know, this is something that, you know, we, on this show, where we're at our best, I feel like, when we're talking about the Charlotte Soccer Show, is reacting to things that happen rather than trying to chase news. And all these people around Charlotte that are always trying to chase news and things like that.
But this is your time to shine.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this is a big signing that no one really had on their radar. And that's like the big moves, the big like club transformational moves are not things that get leaked. Leaks don't, you know, you get leaks about Tim Ream coming in. You don't get leaks about Calvin Stengs coming in. It just kind of appears out of nowhere when it's already close to the finish line.
It's a calculated take. It makes sense to me. And I think that Zoran Crnetta and David Tepper both deserve praise for getting this deal done. And my question to you is Dean Smith the maestro of this? I would say that he is.
This has got to be a player Dean's familiar with. There's a press conference that Dean has scheduled for Thursday afternoon. So you know they want to get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed so that Dean can talk about this new player.
Tim Ream is well scheduled to speak this week.
Yep.
He's been introduced and has done some interviews, but he hasn't done a press conference yet.
And not to get too far off topic, but I am excited to hear from Ream. I know in our previous episode we got a little pushback from some of the TIFOs because they thought we were being a little too negative about the Ream signing. I don't need to rehash that, but I was more negative about if that was the only signing and if they were going to try to treat that as like some huge mega DP-style signing. Whereas now in the context of we're also bringing in Calvin Stengs and maybe someone else we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Miguel Almiron?
I don't think that's going to happen. We'll talk about why. But now in this context, I become much more excited about the Ream signing because it's a complimentary piece. And let me just quote, since there was a little Wayne reference on the last episode. Let's make another one this episode. Real Z's move in silence like lasagna. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's talking about Zoran Crnetta, yeah. Charlotte FC's general manager, who my guess when they say when Fabrizio Romano tweets that there's a Charlotte FC representative or executive in London doing deals, my guess is that is Zoran Crnetta.
It's either Zoran or Trent Slagle.
My only question is, does Bobby Belair get to roll with Zoran overseas?
I think Bobby does get to roll, but Zoran's sitting in first class and Bobby's in commercial for sure. Yeah,
but Trent's definitely not on that plane.
Love you, T-Slags. Yeah, but that gets into what. Let's just get it out there. You threw the name out already, Miguel Almirón. That was kind of the big shock. Like, we hear yesterday or 2 days ago, excuse me, the Stang stuff starts coming to light.
I want to hear Keith Mitchell's report. That's what I basically want to hear.
Okay.
I believe that it's Keith Mitchell of Sky Sports, and maybe I've got the wrong name. Keith Downey, excuse me, of course.
Sorry, Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah, Keith or Mitchell Downey. Is
Downing
the PGA Tour golfer. Keith Downey from Sky Sports. Keith, he says that an agreement isn't close, as there's a gap in valuation between the two clubs, and it also has to work for the player. Time is also against Charlotte. As far as Newcastle United Football Club are concerned, Almirón is still considered an important player, so any deal needs to make sense for all parties. That's Keith Downey, who works for Sky Sports. Incredible in my mind as far as reporting this news, and that's why I tend to agree with you when you say that the Almirón deal seems far-fetched. And I will go from there and ask you, dude, like, why would they let this come about after they're going to make their record signing? How and why do you want to squash that news with a new story about a player that you're not going to acquire?
Right.
Show ambition? I don't understand the strategy.
Yeah, that is an interesting take. Like, why would you take away the spotlight from the Stang signing by putting out a rumor about an Almirón signing as well? Miggy Almirón, here's why. To shithouse Atlanta United, basically, is the only reason. Like, if you want my take on why that Almirón story came out this afternoon when we're, like, at the doorstep of, like, finishing off a Stang signing, it's, to me, it's 100% because Zoran Kornet is in London. That's where Stang's went to get his medical. You assume after the medical was came good, they were going to get the documentation signed and gets before Stang's gets on a plane to fly over here. They want to make sure he signs the contract. So Zoran's over there to sign Stang's, right? And he's sitting around his hotel room. And he's thinking, I'm waiting for this freaking medical examination to happen. I like, you know, what can I do to just kind of shithouse around a little bit and tweak Atlanta United a little bit? I know Almiron's kind of on the market. Newcastle's trying to unload him. Because even though Mr. Downey says that Almiron's an important player for Newcastle, that may be to the Newcastle front office, but it's not to the Newcastle fans. Newcastle fans would be delighted to get rid of Almirón at this point.
Paint the picture for me. Z-Man is overseas.
Yeah.
And is he hanging at a British pub? Is he maybe at a French coffee shop?
We know Z likes the coffee, how many coffee shops are over there in London? I've never been. It's more of a tea city, right?
Yeah, it certainly is, but you can find anything.
It's a cosmopolitan, global town.
In London, there's no doubt about that. So what's his vibe? Just paint the picture for
me. His vibe is he's trying to kill a few hours, and he's like, how about I tweak Atlanta United and start a rumor that we're going to sign Miguel Almirón and bring him back to MLS.
This is what you can do, and this is why Fabrizio Romano, and part of me sees you being tongue-in-cheek, and I can go with this take. Do I think Zoran is just fucking with people, saying that we're going to sign
Kind of,
for
yeah.
fun?
If
that's what you actually think is happening, then, like, it's pure speculation, but it would be cool if he was doing stuff like that. But for me, I would be surprised if he was. It feels a little bit unprofessional.
It does, yeah, if that really was the thing, it would be a little bit unprofessional. But, like, just the fact of those reports coming out from Fab Romano and from Keith Downey, like, Atlanta fans are, like, ready, because, like, they're already ready to jump ship. They've had such a hard year and really a hard 2 years, and they got rid of Almada and they got rid of Yakimaki and all the, like, they're really struggling. They brought in Alexei Miranchuk, I think, who's not really a replacement for either of those two guys. So, like, just the idea, like, I've already seen Atlanta fans that are, like, I'm going to switch my allegiance from Atlanta to Charlotte if they bring in. They like Almirón more than they like their club, because you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I've actually seen that take from an Atlanta fan today that said, if this happens, I'm becoming a Charlotte fan instead of an Atlanta fan.
Well, just remember, anytime you as a Charlotte FC fan gets attached to a player, that player could move.
Yeah.
And if you really want to support the club, then you support the club, and players do move this time of year every year, and you welcome the new players in. And if you want to go be an Atlanta United fan, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you.
If you love Daniel Rios so much that your fandom for Charlotte FC carried over with Rios to Atlanta, then go for it, for sure. I think that
the four-goal game was and is the only four-goal game in franchise history.
Yeah, and will be for some time.
And we'll see what happens. Karol Siderski, I bet, has his eye on that.
Yeah, if he does a better job of hitting wide open nets where the goalkeeper's out of his off his line, then yeah, I think Carroll will have a chance again for a goal someday.
Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. It's been a really fun conversation here on the front patio. It's Rhino, South Park. It's a beautiful evening here. It's so nice to be back doing the show live. It's our old setup here. We haven't used this setup for quite some time.
Back to our roots, baby.
Yeah. So we're here back for the TIFOs, and we've got a lot of great questions from the TIFOs.
Ambient sound, music in the background, you know, conversation that's trying to drown us out. You know, who would have thought? We're back, baby. But, like, thinking about some things, like, and the TIFOs did ask about this, is, like, if we really were going to sign Almiron, which, again, everything Downey throwing, you know, cold water on that, I agree with in terms of the sides are very far apart money-wise. It doesn't really make sense for what Miguel might want and things like that. Trying to get all of those parties reconciled is going to be pretty tough. But if we were to do it, that leaves us with four DPs, Abada, Swiderski, Almiron, and Stengs. So, like, who's on the move most naturally in that? Like, we wouldn't be able to sign Almiron unless we got rid of a DP, which to me, Karol Swiderski is the obvious choice. So let me ask you this. Does this report coming out that we're taking a look at Almiron, does that make you feel like maybe there's an offer on the table we don't know about for Swiderski to move him out of here?
No, because I'm not convinced that the roster rules aren't flexible, that Charlotte FC could find a way to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, if Miami can find a way to bring in everybody and LAFC can find a way to bring in everybody, yeah, I guess we could, for sure.
That's really where my mind's at on this, and I'm being dead serious.
Maybe Patrick Ochimong will take a salary cut.
He's already done enough for the squad. He's already made so many sacrifices.
From the league minimum,
And yet another sacrifice, because Dean Smith clearly doesn't want him because he wants 38-year-old or 37-year-old Jamie Vardy. Another story today.
Yeah, that was great.
That Dean Smith texted Jamie. Do you think Dean Smith had Jamie Vardy's number after he managed him for 6 or 7 games, or do you think Dean Smith had to ask Christian Fuchs for Jamie Vardy's number?
I think the latter, to be perfectly honest.
I don't know. You never know.
Because
Vardy was, like, probably the captain at the time.
Yeah.
He probably had Vardy's number.
Yeah, but that you're referring to a report, the interview that came out. In the midst of all this transfer reporting and news and rumors, another source, what is it, Get Some Football or Talk?
Give Me Sport. Which is Tom Bogert's new outlet.
Yeah, Give Me Sport put an interview out.
Give Me Sport.
They put an interview out with Dean Smith and just talked about how he had pursued Jamie Vardy in the offseason, right? Which is, it's crazy, all this news that's, like, swirling around Charlotte FC. We're really getting on the radar of national and international publications. It's
that's
pretty cool.
What you can do when you have an owner that can throw around money
with
the other top owners in global football.
Right.
And if David Tepper wants to spend his money on Charlotte FC, I say have at it.
Think about this. Fabrizio Romano, who I don't have I think he's a little bit of a shill. I'm not like a Fab disciple. I'm not like a Fab lover. But he is an important voice in the sport, right? And he like, when Fab tweets, here we go, we are going. But, like,
especially around deadlines.
Right. And
not in downtime.
He has tweeted about Charlotte FC 4 or 5 times in the last couple of days. When has that ever happened? Like you know?
Well, I feel compelled to go on the record.
Do it. Go on the record, sir.
And say that I think that there's some of Fabrizio Romano's game that I like and others, part of his game that I get questionable.
Good way to say it, for sure. I think he's in the pocket of some agents, and sometimes he'll tweet stuff that he knows isn't true just to make an agent happy.
Well,
that's what I think.
It's not that he doesn't know that it's true. It's just a potential PR advertisement for a player to get clubs to up their valuation in the market.
100%. Negotiating in the social media, as it were. But I guess we got to feel good about the excitement around the club. There's really no reason for Charlotte FC fans to feel negatively about any of this. And I know I got kind of mini-dragged. Some people agreed with me. But, like, for kind of throwing cold water on the rollout of Tim Ream, not on the signing itself, just the way it was handled.
I didn't drag you.
No, but some of the TIFOs pushed back.
I didn't throw
back.
Any cold water
No, you
on
didn't. You didn't, no. But some of the TIFOs did. And that's fine. It's always an ongoing dialogue with the TIFOs. Feel free to disagree with us. That's no problem. As long as you can hate listen to the show, as long as you're listening. But what I'll say is, now in the increased context of everything that's happening.
Because nobody else is doing content where we're going to talk about Charlotte FC, we're going to talk about the Carolina Ascent, we're going to talk about the Charlotte Independence, we're going to celebrate this soccer city. And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're right.
But that's the vibe.
It's the excitement around the beautiful game in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, so you don't have
just
to
vibing.
Yeah, even if you
the vibe is vibing.
When you do hate listen the show, it's not because you hate the show. It's because you love the show.
I love it.
You know, it's like exactly. you cannot get enough of the show.
Hate is too great a burden to bear. I've chosen with
when
love.
People are like, hey, when are you doing the show? When's the show coming back? We really appreciate that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
The TIFOs are so important, our friends of the show. We wouldn't do that without the TIFOs. And I think that all this happening around Charlotte FC as we potentially get into mid-August here and we get into the final stretch of the MLS season, it feels like a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a fresh start. I know the TIFOs feel the same way. And I just want to give the green light.
Yeah.
Give the green light.
Yeah.
Just
get
say...
Get fucking excited.
Get excited.
Yeah. Go crazy, Joe. Go crazy. I mean, speaking of TIFOs questions, we have a question from, you know, TIFOs of the Year contender Chris Gallagher, a.k.a. Reverend Burrow, who wants to know, will we be bringing back pre-gaming and for home games once the season starts back up on the 24th?
Yes, back in Hopfly.
Hell yes, we will, bro. We will be there. We still love Hopfly. It's not our official partner anymore, but we will spend a lot of time there for sure. We may even do a live. We may even do a pre-game live stream again. Who knows? You know, that's those were always fun. We kind of got
they were fun.
Other a lot of things popped up as we discussed last episode in terms of people attacking the show, in terms of things going on in our personal lives, but. All is well, and we will be doing it again.
Those pregame live streams were really fun,
yeah.
And maybe we'll do it again soon for sure. But the Rev, I gotta say, he is in the pole position. He for TIFOs of the year. There's no doubt about that.
He's the leader in qualifying for sure, no doubt, no doubt. Which Kevin Anderson will gracefully hand over the crown as the 2023 TIFOs of the year for sure.
A couple racing guys,
yeah, exactly.
On Charlotte
exactly. A couple Liverpool guys, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess there's a type when it comes to TIFOs of the year.
Why couldn't Liverpool get into that Community Shield match, I think, is the real question, you know?
It's the Community Shield. It's Manchester City, Manchester United. They played this past Sunday at Wembley Stadium. I think, to me, it's more ceremonial than anything, that match. I love to watch it every year. We're going to talk about that.
Here's a thought I had about the Community Shield before we get too into it. How it's the only match of the year that you don't mind when it goes to penalties. It's like, yeah, you know, community, like a final goes to penalties or a knockout game goes to penalties. You're like, fuck, this is no way to decide an important
match.
Community Shield goes to penalties, you're all in. You're like, yes, let's fucking go. No doubt.
It's exactly how I felt. It's like you were parked inside my brain as I sat on my couch on Sunday morning to watch the Community Shield. It was 1-1. Bernardo Silva equalized late for Manchester City in the second half. And the one thing about that the PK situation is that Ederson continues to take PKs.
So funny.
And
yeah.
The fact that just like Pep is
so
all
clutch.
On board with that and Ederson does that is amazing to me. I've got a take on that, but we're going to talk about Charlotte FC and still answer some questions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the Carolina Ascent, the inaugural match on Saturday. The Charlotte Independence, we're going to talk about, could they lift the trophy? I've got a question for you. Who gets the first trophy between these three clubs?
Wow.
Now that we've got three clubs in town and we know that Charlotte is a soccer city, I'm going to ask that question. Who gets the first trophy between those three clubs?
Yeah, but you need another beer, sir.
I certainly do. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. Back after this. Back on the show out here on the patio at Rhino South Park. Love Rhino Market. Oh, whether it's on Moorhead by the stadium, whether it's down here in South Charlotte, whether it's in Noda, Rhino Market is a classic Charlotte spot.
Before we started recording, I had an avocado BLT that blew my mind. It was fantastic. Now I'm just drinking beers.
Cheers to you. Danny Brams, I've got another Triple C rare batch. It's the Helles Lager. It's absolutely fantastic, and I just wanted to, before we get to Michael Volak's question, I've got a question from Volak on the Instagram page,
Mikey V.
Charlotte Soccer City. You can find us there on Instagram. Always want to interact with you. We got to take some photos here. We got to take at least a photo before we get out of here. Throw on the Instagram page.
Let's go.
It doesn't mean we have to be in it. Just showcase. No, you can be in it.
You're looking good, John. You're looking good. You should be in it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I should be in it.
I'm going to take it right now as you're talking.
It's one of those nights here in Charlotte where things are
happening.
Selfies are being made. And we're here at Rhino and couldn't be having a better time.
I can hear everything on the
mic. I'm absolutely thrilled that the Carolina Ascent will be playing its first match on Saturday. I literally cannot stress enough how massive this experience has been. Launching a new club here in town, having it be the only professional women's sports team in town, partnering with them, the Our Time Lager available by Hopfly, the exclusive craft beer in the stadium.
Incredible.
It's been such a great journey for me personally to try to use this community in a positive way and try to give back to something and to contribute to the Carolina Ascent and help them get launched and to officially sponsor the club.
Yeah, always and climbing. Together we rise.
Cam Scholes at Hopfly, a huge believer in the Carolina Ascent, mm-hmm. a huge ally of women's sports. To have him back me up.
Girl dad?
Absolutely right. To have him back me up in this venture and sponsor this club is a massive W for me personally, and I think for the community, Danny. This game is happening on Saturday.
Yeah.
And
American Legion is going to be packed to the gills. It's going to be sold out. I have a strong feeling, you know?
Agreed. And Philip Poole, the manager. And I'm not just excited about this because on a professional level. I'm excited this on a footballing level too, because Philip Poole, the manager, you know, someone that you can go listen to, you can listen to his interview in the Charlotte Soccer Show feed.
It's there. It's there.
Scroll down,
and
you can easily find that one. Just search Charlotte Soccer Show Philip Poole, and that episode will pop up, and I think you'll really really enjoy it. The bottom line is, Philip Poole is a classy manager who's learned at the national level, an assistant for the United States Women's National Team, and I think he has a high standard of excellence, and he's going to bring that to the club level here in Charlotte, a place that he's lived for the first 20 years of his life. To me, it feels really grassroots, and it feels good.
And you talked to him before they'd even signed any players. Now they got a whole squad of players that have been training right. and learning and becoming a team and gelling, and not only is it the inaugural match for for Carolina Ascent, it's the inaugural match for the entire USL Super League. It's absolutely amazing. Like they are the first match in league history, not just club history. It's going to be an amazing day. I know you got to go celebrate your anniversary down at the beach. I think that's probably a smart move. But I can't wait to take my daughter to Carolina Ascent matches. And I said it in the last episode, like, it's going to be great to have a totally sold out ALMS for the first match, but it's really going to be about like who's coming to the second match and the third match and making that part of their Soccer City routine and actually like accepting and welcoming and thriving the Carolina Ascent into the entire community.
It's so simple, Danny. Do you want to support women's sports or not? And the way that you do that is that you spend money. You buy tickets, you go to the stadium, you buy concessions.
You buy Our Time Lager. You know, yeah.
I mean, I understand how that sounds, but I'm being dead serious.
Well, I'm saying it so you don't have to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the reason why I talked about our season ticket package for Charlotte mm-hmm. FC recently, right? Because I think like sometimes when it comes to sports, we talk so much about the dollars and cents. Oh, this person's making millions of dollars. This person's doing that. Oh, here's a contract for Calvin Stengs, and Charlotte mm-hmm. FC is paying $8 million. And this is a MLS transfer record for Charlotte FC. all these things combined, right? You don't talk about the person that's paying thousands of dollars for their season tickets to support the club.
Right.
All
Where's those, that money come from?
All of that money combined from supporters of the club help the team grow.
Yeah.
And that is so special, and I think that that could happen around the Carolina Ascent.
Yeah.
If you rally around the idea that this is Charlotte's women's professional sports team. Mm-hmm. They play at one of the best stadiums in town, and they should present a on-field product that is desirable football.
I mean, I would go so far as to call it the best stadium in town when it comes to the view and the to watch the American Legion at dusk is just as good as it gets. I mean, you know, love my nights at Bank of America, but there's just nothing better than watching the sun go down with the Charlotte skyline in the background. I want to send a shout out to one of the best named supporters groups probably in all of world football. The Base Camp is the supporters group that's been organized and put together by our friends of the show, Sam and David. Just absolutely doing huge things.
Very smart. Great, yeah. Great name.
And there's a Discord server that already exists for Carolina Ascent fans to get involved. If you need that link, hit me up. I'll get it to you. And shout out to Sam. She's done incredible work. And David, who comes over from the MEC reserves, get involved as well. And just so many good things happening around the fandom for this club. I think it's just, it can't help but be a huge success, you know. And again, I want to make sure there's a sustained support, sustained success there. But it right now it feels like a very big, big deal. And, you know, hopefully maybe some of that might, you know, in some people, you know, in an older, more archaic world, you might think, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe some of the men's team, maybe some of the independents, you know, fandom will bleed over and help, you know, carry this women's team along. Right now, it's the other way around. The success and the support that's gelling and galvanizing around this new women's launch might actually help bring some more fans to the independents, you know, right. The men's side. Who knows?
Women's sports once again leading the way.
Yeah.
And
I saw 65% of the gold medals won by U.S. in the recent Olympics were by women. You know, they're doing more than carrying their weight, and we support it. You know, like we're all people, and it's about time women's sports got their due for sure.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show, and the idea that celebrating this week is short-sighted and that the sustained success of the club matters, right? Like, if I think about it that way, where, yes, you have a long-term vision and you want that vision to come to fruition, but if it doesn't work in the short term, that's a problem too. So for me, like, yeah, get to the base camp, because we're climbing.
Yeah, exactly. Together we rise.
And that's the theme of the club, and that's mm-hmm. what we're rolling with here on Charlotte Soccer Show. Because we're here to support what this organization is doing, and it then leads to the question that needs to be asked: Carolina Ascent, Charlotte Independence, Charlotte FC, three clubs now in town, officially here on match week for the Ascent. Who's gonna win the first trophy, Danny Brams? Who's gonna bring us that glory? Who's gonna put something in their trophy case? The Independents, for what it's worth, do have trophies in the game.
If you ask me, I'm going to say the next trophy won by a professional soccer club in Charlotte is going to be the Independents. They're first in the league. They're top of USL1. They played for a trophy last year, lost in heartbreaking fashion. They are in alive and well in the Jägermeister Cup, so they're still alive for two trophies this year. Carolina sent all this excitement and everything that we've talked about and the build-up. We still don't know what the on-field product is going to look like. They've recruited a ton of players, a lot of local players, a lot of players with Carolina roots. And there's going to be a great vibe around that club once the on-field action gets going. But it's too premature for me to talk about, you know, predicting trophies for them right now, I think. I think right now they win just by launching, and everything's going to be great with them. But, Charlotte FC out of, you know, Crown Legacy crashed out of Open Cup. Charlotte FC got grouped in Leagues Cup. I'd love to think we have a chance with Charlotte FC to win MLS Cup this year, and the Stang signing, which I'm so super excited about, is going to help that for sure. It's really, like, because Charlotte FC's got defense down, the issue has been offense for them. Stang's helps the offense, a massive shot in the arm. But if I have to say who's most likely to win a trophy this year, or it's got to be the Independents.
Mike Jeffries continues to get the job done.
Coach of the month. repeatedly over and over again.
You've heard him on Charlotte Soccer Show. We've got to catch up with Coach Jeffries at some point here during the stretch
run. He's been on before. He'll be on again. And we're going to talk to Ascent players as well, for sure.
Exactly.
And we even have an interview. We've teased her before. It got kind of delayed by the League's Cup exit, but we're going to talk to Nathan Byrne for Charlotte FC, too. There's a lot of good stuff coming on this feed, so stay clued in.
Mike Jeffries, though, is somebody that is we always said set the standard. We thought about him as a potential candidate for Charlotte FC.
Yeah.
He's a type of manager that knows how to manage a roster, knows how to sign players. It's Dustin Correa who comes in for the Charlotte Independents, who signed with this club a couple weeks ago. Mike Jeffries knows when he needs to add players and all of a sudden gets results from those players a few weeks later. And he's absolutely cooking right now, as is Dean Smith. This is for me to say.
Obregon, one of the signings from last offseason, leading the league in goals. You know, Charlotte Independence knows how to go out and scout and sign players.
Now, if you've been paying attention, you might have noticed that what I've been trying to do is thread the needle between Philip Poole to Mike Jeffries to Dean Smith. If you're a fan of Charlotte soccer, Danny, it feels pretty good to have these three people managing all three clubs, which to me typically turns into success.
Yeah.
Like, I think there could be a potential trophy barrage coming here
in the next
2 to 3 years.
Now we're talking. Yeah. It's not about who wins the first trophy. It's about who wins the next trophy and who wins the multiple.
And that's, exactly how all of these clubs need to think. That's not how they need to react to the competitive landscape here now in town. Charlotte FC doesn't need to suck out all the air. It's not the only club in town. The Carolina Ascent here are a new club. The Charlotte Independents has been here for longer.
Right.
Charlotte is a soccer city. It's a soccer city, and all these three clubs combined who are all right now about to play in the next coming 3-4 months.
Dude, it's the home stretch. It's 9 games left in the MLS season. I'm not exactly sure how many are left in USL 1 season, but I know there's 3 games left in the group stage of the Jaeger Cup. Carolina Ascent getting ready to start their season. Like, it is a blitz. It is like a soccer smorgasbord in the next couple months here in this soccer city, and I can't wait to take it all in.
And that in and of itself exists, which makes us excited on Charlotte Soccer Show. But you add Calvin Stengs on top of that, and then you add transfer rumors about Miguel Almiron on top of that, and all of a sudden you take a little brush fire. You throw a little bit of gas on there, and you've got a raging inferno here when it comes to excitement around the beautiful game.
It can't be said, emphasized enough, and I know we've hit a lot of topics this show, but like, and there's going to be much more to say once the signing becomes official and we start seeing this guy in training, but like, the potential that Calvin Stengs represents for this side in terms of being a Puig, Carlos Gil type of, MVP candidate in the league potentially with the stuff this guy's capable of. If you watch his highlight reels, some of the passes he pulls off, like outside foot passes from the wing that curl around defenders and like feed strikers at the end of their runs for goals and things like that. He's got a great highlight from last year, a free kick goal from like 40 yards out, you know, that beats the keeper to the corner and stuff like that. Like, Stengs is going to do stuff for this club, for Charlotte FC, that we have only imagined at this point. Stuff that like a T.T. Ortiz or even an Enzo Capetti could never do, you know? And even Karol Swiderski could never do. I mean, Karol's got a couple of free kick banger goals, but... And it remains to be seen, like, we still need to get to know Stengs' attitude and what his mentality is going to be and how he's going to look out there on the pitch. And I think that's why it's okay to maybe temper your enthusiasm a little bit, but just knowing, like, what he brings is joy. And joy is, like, such a powerful force in the United States of America right now. And, like, there's just sort of, like, after such a long, like, I don't want to get too philosophical, but, like, our entire adult lives we've been living in the shadow of people who want to say America's in decline and this, that, and the other thing. And you know, some bad things happened about 23 years ago, you know what I'm saying? But, like, the joy is coming back, and you saw it in the Olympics. You see it in just the way that national figures are speaking about just being proud to be an American, proud to be from the USA. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. And you could feel during the Olympics.
Yeah.
That the national pride, the national mood
right.
was a little bit different.
Yeah, and Stangs is not an American, but he's coming to play ball in America. He's coming to play the world's game in the United States of America. That's a freaking awesome thing.
The English Premier League is celebrated as the best league in the world. The English Premier League is celebrated within English culture, in global culture, understanding how that league works. One of the biggest players in the world is a South Korean captain who plays in North London who isn't English.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. If you have the joy, you can influence a national mood, for sure.
And it's the league that is about the culture.
Yeah.
Right? It's not necessarily the player. It's not necessarily about the club. It's the league. And when you look at MLS and when you look at USL and you right. look at USL Super League, all I'll say about that is there's some work to do.
Right. It's not like the soccer leagues of America are going to topple the NFL, but like if you are really plugged in and you love sports and you love like feeling good about life, like what's better right now? Going to a Major League Soccer match or even a USL soccer match or a USL Super League soccer match or going to an NFL game? I would choose the soccer match every time. I'm probably in a minority at that point still, but it's a growing minority, and someday it will be the majority.
You answered Michael Volak's question here in this segment already without it being asked, and you also mentioned TT Ortiz, which reminded me. And what Michael Volak responded to us on Instagram, he said, with the back-to-back busts signing at the CAM position, that's how TT came up. A bust at the central attacking midfield position, and Breck Diagra
The 60-minute man, TT Ortiz, yeah.
Breck Diagra, another player who was thought to be brought in at that position. What are your expectations for Stangs is what Michael asked, and I think that was a great question. And I think you answered what the expectations are, but I think the other names that he brought up are a good reason to maybe press pause and say, like, let's not hang the banner yet.
One way you can gauge reaction to all that, though, is the way that the Feyenoord fans are reacting online, because they're big mad. They're saying, what the hell? Why is this guy going to MLS? Why are we selling him for this little? I thought we had a 15 million valuation on Stengs. Why are we selling him for only 8, et cetera, et cetera? But the fact of the matter is Stengs has chosen to come join this project, and Feyenoord, sorry about your luck, you know? Like, if you are unhappy to be losing him, we're just as happy to be gaining him, and I think that fan reaction is very telling. Like, if you talk about these Miguel Almiron rumors, all the Newcastle fans are like, yeah, can't wait to get rid of him, can't wait to get rid of him. Yeah, please, Charlotte, take him off our hands. Feyenoord fans are like, what the fuck? How are we losing this guy? You know, so it's a totally different vibe.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's easy to think that we've seen transfers in the past where the rhetoric doesn't match the actual result. And I think you call that out beautifully. And that's why I'm just kind of sitting here and saying, I cannot wait to see this guy. Cannot wait to see him play for Charlotte FC. But my expectations are that this player is as good as Ben Bender. Somebody that can be injected into the 10 position and play well for Charlotte FC. Do you remember Ben Bender's first game back this season? How well he played?
He did look pretty good, yeah.
Yes, it hasn't panned out since then, and Dean clearly doesn't trust him. All I'm saying is that it's not like Stengs is going to come into this situation and waltz into being the best player at his position. I think that this is very good for the roster as a whole. I think it pushes Bender. I think it pushes Bronico. I think it pushes Diani. All of a sudden, the midfielders are starting to work and realize the competition.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, hopefully, if we're bringing in a DP to play creative center attacking mid, hopefully those guys, it pushes them to the bench to stay for a while. I mean, nothing personal against those guys, but
well, there's one spot for like four guys,
and these are
But you hear what I'm saying though?
I do.
And they're all in contention because there's one spot for like.
It's
four
the same
or five
thing
guys
that the Tifos want to know. I put the call out on Twitter earlier today. Paul Moorcroft chimes in. Paul Moorcroft, Brandon Davis, Chief Kiefer, Donna Hartman, CLTFC fan. They all have sort of the same question, which is, if Stengs comes in, who goes out? Are we going to lose a player? Are we going to sell a player? And also, what's your ideal starting 11 if Stengs is here?
Well, I just simplified it for you. There's one midfielder that misses out, and the rest stay in.
Agreed. I agree. To me, it comes down to, so we've been playing with sort of a Westwood and Diani as defensive mids, with Bronico as sort of our attacking mid, right? Or maybe Bender, maybe Petkovic, depending on the League's Cup matchup.
It's been a classic 4-3-3.
Yeah.
It's been 4-3-3.
For me, Stengs instantly takes over sort of the front of the front mid, the most advanced
so
midfielder.
So it's Bronico that comes out.
Not so fast, my friend, because I think Diani is more in danger than Bronico. It depends on the matchup. I think it's matchup dependent, but I think, again, I've said this multiple times on the show, and I'll say it again. Like, coaches, they think they want to bench Brent Bronico, and then they look at the analytics and they look at how much he runs and how much ground he covers. Like, I couldn't bench this guy. And I think we've heard Dean already talk about in the past, not so much recently, but at times this season, Dean has lamented Diani's lack of positional discipline. And I think Bronico sticks in the starting lineup as a defensive midfielder standing next to Westwood, and Diani is more in danger of losing his position.
What you just described was a clear pushback to what people are saying about a crowded lineup, no room for players. What are you talking about? This is just one midfielder added into the equation. And there's competition in those midfield spots. Now, if Miguel Almiron came into the squad... Now, then yes, we could talk about who loses out, and I think it's pretty clear that it's Kerwin Vargas. We don't need to get into that discussion.
Yeah.
Right? Because we already know that Patrick Ajimong has lost out to Karol
Swiderski.
Miguel
could play a false
These things
nine
are happening.
Also, yeah.
These things are happening. And
Almiron
let's just
could
be clear.
Play a false nine.
Karol Swiderski is the nine. Patrick Ajimong is the backup. Leal Abada is the starter. Kerwin Vargas is the winger number two.
Yeah. Tavares fills in when...
Tavares is third. Yeah. You add a winger to that scenario... Then all of a sudden Vargas is bumped out, and then it's Vargas and Abada. It's very simple to see what's happening with this club when it comes to the choice 11.
Right.
That's my point.
Tim Ream puts Andrew Priven under pressure. You know?
Correct.
Right.
Like let's not make this more confusing than it actually is on paper. And on paper, what we see is a clear competition at the left center back position, a clear competition at the striker position, a clear competition at the number 10, and Karol Swiderski. Calvin Stengs and Tim Ream are going to win those competitions.
They get paid the most, so yeah, no doubt. Although I'm not sure how much Privet makes after his contract renewal.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Like that's a new era of the club. That's
it's a new look,
And I think that's what Dean wants, right? And all those players are right down the spine.
Yeah,
it's exactly what he wants. He gets his left-footed center back.
Right.
This is his first choice, 11, and that's what you have as a manager. Yeah. And other players fit into those pieces, and I think...
it's going to be real interesting.
The puzzle is right there for him to put together. The chess pieces are available.
At first, I wasn't thinking I wanted Tim Ream to replace Andrew Privet as a starter, but with 3 weeks of training under his belt and his veteransness, it's going to be real tough for Ream to not be a starter. I'm coming more and more around to the idea of Ream just slotting right into that starting lineup next to Adi Milanda, for sure. As much as I love Privet, and we are, and all that. And shout out Shane Privet and the family as well, but like, ooh, it's tough to...
Well, I mean, at this point, Danny, when it comes to Charlotte Soccer Show, like, you're in the Privet family, I'm not. Okay?
We'll always have Nashville Privet family, for sure.
You get invited to the family holiday parties, I don't. And that's why it's tough for you.
You should, though. You got the Penn State link. I just met him one time on Broadway Avenue in Nashville. You know, what can I say?
No. I think that it's so difficult to just kind of wrap your mind around the idea that Andrew Privet gets, Andrew Privet gets benched after performing so well this season and earning a new contract. But it just... the writing is on the wall for it to happen.
And not necessarily benched, but just rotational. You know, it becomes a rotation thing. I don't know.
I believe in the back five. And I'll say that again. I believe in the back five. That, where late in the game, Dean puts Andrew Privet
sure,
on.
Sure, why not?
And it's three center backs with two wing backs.
Which, I think Bill Tuoloma was suited to that, but just for whatever reason, just can never get any love. But, yeah.
Late in matches.
Yeah.
You're up two goals. Andrew Privet comes on.
Yeah.
And one of the attacking midfielders comes off.
We're on the patio at Rhino Market in Delhi. We've had a great fucking night. It's starting to smell a little lifted out here. And things are good, man. We're drinking beers. We're talking Charlotte soccer. And the joy is just building. And the idea of Charlotte FC bringing in elite players at multiple positions is just a really good thing. The idea of Charlotte Independence being top of the league, the idea of Carolina Senate being about to launch with an elite coach who has national experience. I mean, how could you not be so excited about what the beautiful game has to offer right now in this city? How could you not?
Some people don't see it, Danny, and the reason why is because they're too concerned with Bryce Young highlights on a practice field and a Panthers team that is maybe going to win three games this year.
Did Bryce? I thought Bryce didn't play in the first preseason game or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't follow the Panthers.
You can easily see where the sports media in this city is concentrating.
Yeah.
Its daily eyes on. It's daily efforts. It's resources. It's not Charlotte FC, Danny.
I know, but do you think that changes if Charlotte FC like goes on a run here, wins a few games out of this break, and all of a sudden is looking to host a playoff series?
It's really, really tough considering.
Do you think the Observer might do more than put an intern on the team at that point? I don't know.
Shout out to the intern who hopefully is getting paid to do that for the Charlotte Observer. That would be
right. That's not a dig against the person who's covering. That's a dig against the outlet that's not making best use of its resources.
It better be paid. Yeah. That internship better be paid.
Yeah.
If that internship's not paid, I'm
hopping mad. Kicking mad.
I am mad about that, for sure.
But we're here covering them. And we're going to continue to cover them. And we are not getting paid, you know, anymore. So what can I say?
You've reached the end of the episode. Congratulations. I don't know how you made it this far, but you did. And for that, you get nothing. No, you get another episode coming to your feeds here soon.
I got one more Tifos question.
Okay. You get a bonus
question. This is from at Zach Mack on Twitter. And we're taking questions on Twitter, on Threads, on Instagram now. We did get a Threads question from the NIFA, who says, how the heck can we make all these signings realistically happen? And unfortunately, I think it's by, there's no way to sign Almiron without selling Swiderski. But this is the question I wanted to get to real quick before we end, from Zach Mack, number one soccer guy. Can you drink a beer for me, Danny Brams? I'm doing dry August. And Zach, I drank two, and I'm about to go have a third.
Yes.
So
cheers to that. You've done well, kid. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. He's Danny Brams. Follow us on Instagram at Charlotte Soccer City. Follow us on X at For the Crown Baby.
Follow us on YouTube at Charlotte Soccer Show. Why would we match our social media handles when we could have three different ones, you know?
Spreading the love. And maybe we'll do another episode this week. We'll see what happens over the coming days. If Miguel Almiron, if that rumor comes true, we will do an episode. We'll do a breaking news episode. We'll talk about what that means, because
that would change everything.
If Miguel Almiron does sign for Charlotte FC, do you start to think about this team as an MLS Cup contender?
I'm going to be honest. I think of us as an MLS Cup contender just with the Steng signing. I really do think Steng makes us an MLS Cup contender. I honestly believe, to quote our friend Daniel Brackets, it's a transformational signing. This guy has a potential. Danny Brackets said Stengs could be a top five player in the league. I'm not quite ready to say that yet, but I would say he could be a top 15 for sure. One of the 15 best players in MLS.
And that's why you wait until the end of the show. As always, Danny Brams.
It's For the Crown, baby.